listening to the CCA Podcast.
Well, can you believe that this is the week of Thanksgiving? Where has the time gone? All of your eyes, I wish you could see what I saw right now. Everybody went, yeah, where is the time? I mean, your eyes just got really big. That was cool. Well, we're so glad you're here. My name's Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary. And we're just so glad you're with us on a Sunday morning. The best place to be in Seattle, right here at Calvary. We're all about one thing here at Calvary. And so we want to let you know we're all about Jesus. We're all about helping as many people as we possibly can both find and follow Jesus. And so we do that in a myriad of different ways, one of which is on Sunday mornings here. And we've been in a sermon series called Relationship Matters. This is our fourth week in that sermon series, and we're going to jump into that in about a few minutes here. But talk to us more about this Thanksgiving that we're coming into this week. What's on your heart about that?
You know, this morning I was praying and just thinking about thankfulness. And like, if I could be totally honest, I woke up and the first thing I said to myself was, can I do a skip? Because I had in my mind set up after church and just all the stuff Monday and Tuesday, and then it's my daughter's birthday, and then we have Thanksgiving, and then the installation. I'm just thinking about event.
Just a little bit busy, maybe. Just
kind of, like this much. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, what? I just felt overwhelmed and just wanted it to end before it began. I don't know if any of you guys have had those kind of days. Just me? Okay, cool. You're all lying. I honestly... totally transparent. I woke up feeling that way. And I was just like, Lord, I need to be grateful. And the Lord just made it so clear. If you're looking for something to be grateful for, just open your eyes and look around. You don't have to look far. Mm. And so, I mean, even just in the simplest thing, I woke up and realized I have a bed I sleep in. Mm. I have a roof over my head. It's warm in here. Mm-hmm. I have a family in my house. I have family visiting. I have food that I can go downstairs and eat. I have a church to go to. Like, there's just too much to be grateful for to just keep the covers over my head and just hiding out. And it's so amazing as we go into this week, we realize that holidays can be actually very challenging for people. And so we don't want to overlook that. But at the same time, there's so much more to be grateful for, and there's so much that could just can focus on, and it makes it so special.
Yeah. Would you pray over the service today? Would you pray with us this morning about Thanksgiving and our time together as family here this morning? Let's pray together.
Lord, you know we are all coming in here with different stories, different situations from what we've walked in with from this week. And I just pray, Lord, that as we come in here, may this be a moment of exhaling and laying it at the altar. And Lord, we just put aside everything that we've walked through, all the negative words that have been spoken or even the pressures that we're dealing with.
Oh,
we're gonna open our hand of all those things that we're hanging on to, and we're going to release those things and ask God with our open hand that we'd be in a place to accept what you're saying to us this morning. So, Father, we invite your presence in this place. Jesus. Would you come, Jesus, move among us, Jesus, speak to our hearts in a very real and personal way that only you can do,
Jesus,
and God, that you would just move in us, and Lord, draw us closer to you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. And I want you to know my family is here today, my mom and my dad. And would you stand up, mom and dad, and just greet the people? Would you welcome them today?
First of all, I want to say thank you for all of your prayers. They have sustained me. Had a few challenges recently, got a few in front of me. Nothing that the Lord can't handle. And he says to pray for one another, and I'm just telling you, I feel him. Yeah. I've got my, I couldn't do it without Noelle, you know. But your prayers have sustained her as well. Everyone always prays for the person going through it, but the person that's by their side actually, she contends with much more than I do. I just like, okay, God, you got this. I move on. Let's go. You know, she's got to contend with you know, all the mechanics of what goes on. So anyway, we don't know every one of you, but we love you. We love this church. We pray for you as well. I listen to all the sermons online, you know, so I don't miss a thing. And thank you again for all your prayers. Would you like to say something?
Oh, it's good to be here. How's that? And really, we are praying for this whole hillside. You know, draw them in, Lord. Let Seattle see this is what's missing, Jesus Christ and eternal life. That's just making me cry all day today. Thank you for praying for us and continue. Yeah, his surgery is the 16th of December. And it should be interesting walking the next path, right?
Yeah,
God will be with us. Yeah. He does have it. He knows. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So glad you guys are here. Welcome. So this morning, if you can open your Bibles with me, Acts chapter 16, we're in the fourth week of our Relationship Matters sermon series. Today, the overarching big idea is I'm thankful for ... I'm thankful for what? And so we're going to be looking at the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're going to begin at the 25th verse. This is the account where Paul and Silas give thanks. They praise, they sing songs, and they praise, and they pray, and they give thanks with grateful hearts in prison. So we're going to start at the 25th verse. And again, if you need a Bible, don't hesitate. We have Bibles out at the guest stop in the lobby. If you need a Bible, we've got one for you. I would encourage everyone, bring your Bible to church, whether it's on your cell phone or on your iPad or however you have it. Bring a Bible so we can study God's Word together. We're all about encouraging Bible teaching here at Calvary. So let's jump in. Acts 15:25. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up when he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. I'm thankful for ... You see, this morning, we grow closer in our relationship with Jesus when we build our lives around thanksgiving. We grow closer in our relationship with Jesus when we build our lives around thanksgiving. I heard the story of a young couple, Sean and Sarah, on their honeymoon night. They were so excited. It was a long day, and they had rented a beautiful bridal suite at a fancy hotel, and upon getting there in the wee hours of the morning, Sean and Sarah went up to their room and opened the door and walked in and were a little confused because, see, they had paid for a bridal suite and reserved a bridal suite, but they walked in and all they saw was a couch, a chair, and a table. They thought, what in the world? So they kind of looked around a little bit. It was dark. They're rummaging around, and they found that the couch was at least a hideaway. So they, you know, pulled it out, put sheets on it, and all night it was terrible. They just awake half the night. I didn't have a good night's sleep. Springs were protruding from the mattress. You know, those little thin little mattresses on those hideaways. Just horrible. So in the morning, Shane goes down, and he goes down to the front desk, and he says, gives him a mouthful. I mean, just lights the clerk up. And the clerk, after hearing everything he had to say, said, well, there must be some mistake. He said, did you open the bridal suite door? What? So he storms back upstairs, and sure enough, the door he thought led to a closet led to the bridal suite. And he opens the door, and he sees a king bed. And there's rose petals, red rose petals all everywhere. And there's boxes of chocolates, and there's fruit baskets. And just, he's going, what in the world? Totally available and yet completely unused. This morning, there are some doors in our life that are too important to keep closed. One of those doors is Thanksgiving. One of those doors is opening up the door of gratitude and thanksgiving in your life that will lead you into relationship with Jesus like none other. Real quick this morning, it's in your bulletin. Three ways to open the door of thanksgiving in your life. You have fill-ins. Number one is this. Giving thanks to God will improve my outlook while influencing others. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being lowest, 10 being the greatest. Are you a thankful person? I mean, just naturally. Are you thankful? Are you, another way of asking is, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person? How you see things, how you process, your perspective. Well, now let me ask it this way. How about that same scale, 1 to 10, how about when you're dealing with difficulties and stress? Are you a thankful person? The scripture says, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown in prison. This is Paul and Silas. Severely flogged. They were going through some stuff. It's crazy because if you read the account here in scripture, they had actually done a really good thing. On their way to a prayer meeting, earlier in this same chapter, you'll read, on their way to a prayer meeting, Paul and Silas helped deliver a lady. They prayed for a lady who was filled with demonic spirit and despondent and depressed and overwhelmed with just heaviness. They pray for her, and she's delivered. They do a good thing. And then they get in trouble for doing it. Have you ever felt like that, where you're doing all the right things and the wrong things just keep happening to you? Anybody in here just feel like you've been flogged this week? I mean, just severely, the scripture says. We can look at Paul, who was literally flogged, severely. Paul and Silas, they were thrown in prison. Are you suffering in a prison this morning? Is it difficult for you to conjure up some gratitude and thanksgiving because you found yourself all of a sudden in a prison? Like Paul and Silas, has life suddenly just spun out of control? Just things are just spinning out of control for you. I want to encourage you, you're not alone. You're not alone. You see, this week on Wednesday, things spun out of control for me, literally. I was on my way early in the morning before the sun even rose. I was on my way to a seminary class at Northwest University. And I never drive that direction. Typically in the mornings, I'm always coming southbound on I-5. But this in particular morning on 220th and getting on the on-ramp northbound on I-5, which, by the way, I should preface this story by saying I like taking corners a little fast. Yeah, so, but not dangerously fast, just I like to lean in. You're laughing at me. This corner was no different, I promise you, honest to God. I wasn't going faster or slower. I was just my normal turn, my normal lean in and go. The only problem is there was ice. the roads were slick and wet. And so I began spinning. And the first thing, if you know me, I love punctuality. So actually the first thing that I thought was, great, I'm going to be late as I'm spinning. Whee! Great, I'm going to be late. The second thought that I had is, as I'm staring at, you know how if you've ever been in an accident, it's things are in slow-mo. As I'm staring slow-mo at headlights coming at me, the second thought I had was, do not hit my car. Spun out of control. Ended up in the bushes. To spare you the details, I'll just say it kept, even though I had stopped spinning, literally, the situation just kept spinning, and it was out of control. I ended up, well, I'm not even going to go there, but it involves having my car impounded and getting a ticket, and the list goes on. So if you ever felt like life is just spinning out of control, you didn't plan on it, you didn't think it was going to happen, you're just going about things like you usually do, and all of a sudden, you're not alone. See, the question isn't whether or not we will have trials, but how we will respond to the trials that we have. Jesus said it this way. He said, in this world, listen now, you will have trouble, but take heart. I circled that in my scripture. Take heart. I, Jesus says, have overcome the world. So knowing this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. It's important. Get this part of the scripture. Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Togetherness. You see, in that situation on Wednesday, I had an angel who texted me and said, he gave me everything I needed. He was an officer friend, and he texted me. And he told me, hey, man, the sun's shining. It's going to be all right. Things are going to get better from here. I'm praying for you. You're not alone. If there's anything I can do to help, I'm here for you. Paul and Silas. Like when Paul was down, Silas was saying, come on, man, let's pray. It's going to be all right. And then when Silas got discouraged, Paul said, hey, man, come on, let's sing. Let's sing some songs of praise. You're going to get through this. It can only get better from here. Paul and Silas were singing. We're praying. Togetherness is important. You're not alone. You're not alone. So this morning, I'm going to encourage you, don't be anxious. Listen to the words of Paul. Don't be anxious about anything you're going through, but in everything you're in, by prayer and petition, with what? Say it with me. Thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, prayer in the text and thanksgiving go hand in hand. It's like when we pray about something on a Wednesday night prayer meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we say amen. And do what happens next is important. We get in conversation, and it's either, man, I'm believing God to answer my prayers. Wasn't that a great prayer meeting? Yeah, it was an awesome prayer meeting. I'm believing, I'm hoping. And then we take it further in dinner conversation, and then we're in the parking lot, and then we're on I-5 traffic, and then before you know it, we're grumbling, and we're complaining, and we're upset, and we're back in strife, and we're thanksgiving, prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Giving. Paul said, have the same attitude of Christ. He encourages us because he knows what prison chains feel like. Express gratitude despite your situation. I want to encourage you, some of the best hymns that we've sung, some of the best worship songs that we've sung have a minor note. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say a minor note? For the musicians in the house, you get it. For those that may not know, there are intervals, and some of those intervals are minor intervals in songs and in music, and some of the most beautiful songs are written in minor notes. And as we sing those songs in minor notes, God uses that. You may be in a minor note situation. Don't stop singing. Don't stop praying. Continue to be grateful regardless of what your situation may look like. Because David said it this way. He says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. You got to understand, his heart was hurting when he scribed this. He had gone through loss. He had been through bitter pain. It was hard. And yet he says, I will give thanks. Why should I be thankful, Pastor Ryan, when I'm going through dot, dot, dot? Why? Scripture says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We ask, what's God's will? What does he want for my life? What's my next step? What's my purpose? What's my plan? Well, this we can start here by just being thankful. This is God's will for you, to be thankful. Church, do you receive everything as an instance of God's goodness with a thankful heart, an opportunity to be thankful? Is that your narrative? I want to encourage you this morning. Scripture says the other prisoners were listening to them. People are listening. People all around you are listening, starting with your children, starting with your grandchildren. People are listening. People are hearing what Seattle is listening. What does Seattle hear you say? How does Seattle hear you respond? How will your family hear you this week as you walk through what you do? You see, Thanksgiving is essential for living healthy, but it's not automatic. We learn in Scripture that you have to express it when at all times. David said this. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, at all times. At all times. Jesus, I love, he prayed expressive prayers. Let's read what Jesus, how Jesus prayed. He said, Oh Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you. Thank you. Oh Father, what is that? That's intimacy. That's relationship. You see, Thanksgiving isn't something we just conjure up. It's an enhanced expression out of relationship. You see, I thank the person at the grocery store different than I thank my father and my mother. Hey, thank you. Good. Have a good day. Some of us, that's as deep as we get with God. Thank you. Awesome. Good. Good service. Good to see you. All right. On with our job. On with our life. Whereas mom and dad, it's relationship. My wife, if my wife does something for me, if she smiles at me or she expresses her presence in a certain way, it's different out of relationship. Oh, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you. When I read a scripture like this, I say, well, Jesus gives thanks, so I give thanks. Oh, we know what Jesus went through on our behalf. And if Jesus gives thanks, I give thanks. Why? Because Jesus' life of gratitude and thanksgiving, it influenced and influences the world. Isn't that awesome? Three ways to open the door of thanksgiving in your life. Number one, giving thanks to God will improve my outlook while influencing others. Number two, giving thanks to God will open doors of opportunity all around me. Well, we should look at the opposite, too, because the opposite is true. Complaining, arguing, staying bitter, holding unforgiveness, living in strife, that'll all shut doors of opportunity around you, right? The opposite's true, too, right? A lot of you are looking at me right now like, what are you talking about? I've never been upset. I'm just the most positive person on the, right? Look at this. Three ways how to successfully live unthankful. Let me give these to you, okay? Three ways how to successfully live unthankful, and I might add, keep the doors closed. Use negative words and complain. right? Oh, this is horrible. It's always going to be like this. This is so bad. Oh, this is stupid. Unbelievable. And we just, that's how we live. And we don't even have to say that. That can be in our spirit, right? How about number two? Focus on yourself and not others whenever you pray. Right? It's always about my stuff and what I've got going on, and I never have a heart to pray for anyone else. It's just me, myself, and I, and that's as deep as my prayer goes. That's another way to live unthankful. Or number three, allow your health to deteriorate. And I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking in your mind. You know those inner mind videos that we just put on repeat and we just over and over we play? Those inner mind videos. You know, what are those playing in your head day in and day out? What's in your spirit, you know, to allow those things to deteriorate is to live in a state of unthankfulness. And giving thanks isn't easy. It's not. But I've learned that it's essential, especially in conflict. We're talking about relationship matters, especially when you're going through something with a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend or a mom or a dad or a coworker. You're in a relationship conflict. Staying thankful, keeping God in it, is essential in conflict resolution. You see, I just went through a class. That class that I spun out in on my way to was a team building and conflict resolution management class. And so, I mean, right? So this is a big deal. Like every day we have an opportunity to either be unthankful or to be thankful. Scripture says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Well, we're talking about relationships. Everything. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Let's inventory our relationships. Just think about maybe those closest to you, or maybe even think about a conflict that you're in right now with a son or a daughter or a friend or a coworker or somebody. Maybe you're sitting next to this morning you're in conflict with, right? Or maybe someone you bumped into on the way here. And I've learned that grumbling and complaining through conflict is like dry rot. Anybody ever dealt with dry rot? It slowly deteriorates things. It's just a constant, slow. That's grumbling and complaining. It'll slowly just weaken you and sap your strength. And perhaps this morning, church, perhaps, let me say it this way, in prayerful consideration, perhaps the people and the relationships that rub you wrong the most are there in actuality to make you better, stronger, and more like Jesus. You see, we recently redid our deck, okay? This last summer, we redid our deck, and it needed an overhaul. It needed a renewal, so to speak. And so we started with a power wash, a spray wash, and then instructions were to get a big, giant floor sander. We had to sand that thing real good. And it took hours. I mean, it took a long time to sand that thing. Sometimes those people who rub you the wrong way the most just doesn't seem like they're going to go away, huh? They just keep sanding and sanding and sanding and, right? But maybe the point of them in your life is to prepare you for what Jesus sees is coming next. Maybe those people in your life are there actually as an opportunity for what's next with the Lord, renewing and refreshing and restoring and making you more like Him in His image. You see, there'll be plenty of opportunities to complain and find fault in others, won't there? Today alone. There'll be plenty of opportunities. And I can say this because I know what I'm talking about. There'll be plenty. Ryan, listen up now. Your ears awake this morning, Ryan. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to complain and find faults in others. But Ryan, that's not God's best for you or them. Jesus has something far better for you. What is that? Give thanks. Give thanks. Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's a whole lot of his, him, that's a whole lot of God. In other words, it's relationship. Like we're entering
his territory. We're entering his realm. It's out of relationship that Thanksgiving bubbles up and bubbles over. What is that? It's Scripture says Thanksgiving prepares the way. David said it this way: he who offers thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Thanksgiving literally prepares the way for what God wants to do next in your life. And I read salvation. I read redemption. I read something better. I read favor. I read blessing. Out of what? Out of thanksgiving. So I want to encourage you right now, whatever you're in the middle of, give him thanks in advance. In other words, let your prayers be something like, Father, I thank you that Dad's going to get through this surgery and come out stronger. I'm giving thanks in advance. Father, I thank you. Some of us are dealing with major hip, joint, physical issues and pain, and you've just been going through. It's been a week. Here's how that prayer sounds. Father, I thank you. I feel weak right now, but Joel 3:10, Lord, tells me, let the weak say I'm strong. I thank you for the strength that you're giving me now. We're thanking him in advance, and we're giving him thank offerings that will prepare the way for God's salvation, David said. When you're serving God and things do not go the way you planned. Did I plan for a CGM? Did I plan for diabetes? Did any of you plan for spinning out this week? No! But when things don't go the way that we want them to, like Paul and Silas, severely flogged and in chains, learn from them. Learn from the early church. Giving thanks to God triumphs tragedy every single time. Suddenly, Scripture says, the foundations of the prison were shaken. The prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Now, you've got to understand that Paul was in prison other times in Scripture, and this type of thing didn't happen every time. So let's just start there. But I will say this, in this instance, it happened. Okay, which tells me, now, by the way, just a side note in this real quick. I had the most fun this week. I had an enjoyable time as the Spirit of God was speaking to my spirit this message to deliver to you today. This message is for somebody. I know it is. I've been praying for you all week. I fasted for you. I'm believing that this morning is going to be a chain loosening, prison door opening moment for somebody in this church this morning. I'm confident. I know a lot of what a lot of you are going through, but there's some I don't know what you're going through. God does. And if you will get thanksgiving in your spirit this morning, God will do something in your life that is beyond your wildest. I just know he will do it. So I want to read this scripture again. Suddenly, the foundations of the prison were shaken, the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. Giving thanks this morning, Calvary, in this Thanksgiving week, giving thanks is the key to opening doors in your life that would otherwise remain shut. Giving thanks is the key. I'm believing this morning that doors of freedom are going to open. Doors of freedom from a past prison. Doors of freedom from something you're walking through right now. I'm believing doors of provision and blessing in your life. I'm believing for doors of healing. Doors of hope. I'm believing for doors of favor. I'm believing for doors of promotion. Some of you have been praying for a job. Some of you have already experienced that door opening in your life. God opened that door wide open, and God provided. I'm believing for those who are still praying and asking God, Lord, what's next? What's next? Doors of provision, doors of favor, doors of opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. You've been praying, Lord, we've been talking about getting out in Seattle. How do I do it? Where do I start? God's going to open a door in your life to be able to share what he's done in your heart to somebody in Seattle. I'm believing doors of opportunity to share his word. I'm believing this morning that prison doors are going to open. So give thanks. Somebody just say, give thanks. Give thanks because it's not always going to be like this in your life. Give thanks because God is doing something new now. Give thanks because you will be loosed of depression. Give thanks because you will be loosed of discouragement this morning. Give thanks because those suicidal thoughts that you've had off and on and told nobody about, you're going to be loosed from that this morning. Give thanks because chains of hurt that have been around you. Give thanks because chains of abuse and betrayal that have been around you. Give thanks because anger and resentment, you're going to be loosed from these things, not because of anything I'm trying to persuade you from, but because of what Jesus is doing in your heart right now. Right now, he's doing it. Relationship conflict can be so difficult. Hurts and pains can be so difficult. Shame, guilt, regret, a sense of hopelessness, but those chains are coming loose. Those doors of freedom are opening up. Three ways to open the door of thanksgiving in your life. Number one, giving thanks to God will improve my outlook while influencing others. Number two, giving thanks to God will open doors of opportunity all around me. And number three, giving thanks to God will unleash joy in my family and community. Scripture says the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Our city, unfortunately, is known for suicides. We read about it, we hear about it, and the age doesn't matter. There's a lot of really young people taking their lives. I think of celebrities in years past, decades past, who have taken their life in this city. There are people all around us walking through pain, going through things, and they're considering drawing the sword. Maybe not even physically, but maybe they're considering just giving up. I give up. I draw my sword. It's hopeless. But I want to encourage you, when I read this chapter, the Bible shows how bad experiences can, with Jesus, produce really good outcomes. How? Jesus? When? Now? I'm going to flip to Psalm 16, and I'm going to read this psalm. Because I want to give you, there's some in here who's still asking, okay, I get it, I hear you, but I'm thankful for dot, dot, dot. I'm having a hard time just putting my finger on a few things that I can be thankful for this morning. Let me give you David's I'm thankful for liturgical psalm that he wrote. This is the 16th psalm. It says this, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Number one, David's I'm thankful for. He says, I'm thankful for a sure refuge in God. This morning, you have a sure refuge. You can run to Jesus any time you need. He's sure. The psalm goes on and it says this. It says, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. David's I'm thankful for, he says, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my community of faith. I'm thankful for the believers. You know, this morning, look around you. There's a lot. There's many people here who I'm thankful for. Wow. The friendships, the community, the togetherness. There's something to be thankful for. The psalm continues with his liturgical expression, and it says, verse 4, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. He says, Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. A delightful inheritance. David's I'm thankful for says, I'm thankful for the promised reward of heaven. Did you know this morning that you can be thankful that when you die, you just don't get eaten by worms or you just don't get cremated and it's done. That's it. You're over. When you die, you get to go to heaven. You get to spend eternity, those who believe in Jesus, with him forever. Forever. That is the hope of our glory. That is the secure promise of reward. Heaven. He goes on and he says, verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. He says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. He's talking about it. He's thankful. My tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. He's saying, I'm thankful for a firm foundation on the rock. I'm thankful for the rock. Was he talking about this rock right here? Was he saying, I'm thankful for the rock? No, but he's got a cool cross though, huh? He's working that cross. Hey, by the way, thanks for Moana, man. That was a really cool movie. No, who's he talking about? God. He's talking about the rock, the firm foundation. He says, I am thankful that I'm secure, that when I feel insecure, I can go to God, and that's my sure foundation. That is my hope. And he goes on, and he says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. It's interesting because this very portion of Scripture, Peter, in the New Testament, when he preaches his first sermon, the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, and he preaches, this is one of the passages that Peter points back to. Read it in your text. Just do it maybe in your devotions this week. Acts 2, where Peter preaches and he uses the scripture, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One, capitalization, H for holy, O for one, Holy One, see decay. He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. He's pointing back the same thing David right here is prophesying thousands of years. Peter and on the day of Pentecost is now experiencing the what? The next one, number 5, is hope of resurrection. David talks about it here in the psalm. Oh, he says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Who is he talking about there, Jesus? Who is David talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. And so now when Peter points back to this text, Peter is saying, hey, he's risen. He's alive. And you can have the same hope of resurrection. I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for the promise, the hope of resurrection in my life. You can be too. This is something to circle in your Bible. Oh, you will not let your Holy One see decay. Oh, you will not abandon me to the grave, because you are the God who raises from the dead. You are the God who calls things that are not as though they were. And so this morning, David's I'm thankful for liturgical psalm points us to the hope of resurrection. In verse 11, he finishes by saying, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy. Everybody just say joy. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. David's I'm thankful liturgical psalm is thankful for intimate relationship and joy with his Savior. I'm thankful for dot, dot, dot. What are you thankful for this morning? I'm thankful. I tell you, this morning when I got up, I sat by that fireplace. I had my coffee with Jesus. I got to tell you this morning, I am so thankful for my relationship with Jesus. If there's anything I can tell you this morning, it's this: get to know Jesus. You talk about that joy He will fill you with a joy. It's inexpressible joy. Scripture says the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. David, thankful. And so we jump back to the 16th chapter of Acts where Paul unleashes hope and joy. And he says, don't give up. He says, stop. Don't kill yourself. We are all here. The jailer says, well, what must I do to be saved? And Paul responds. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Dear Seattle, dear Calvary Christian Assembly, there's hope. There's life. There's joy in Jesus this morning. We look to the Word. We look to God's holy Word because the Scripture says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, the jailer, after telling him, believe in the Lord Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus. Then what did they do? They immediately spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. I want to encourage you this week. The week of Thanksgiving. Get alone with the Word of God. Get alone with the Word of God and take time. You see, Scripture says they spoke the Word of the Lord to him. The Word of the Lord changes things. God's word, when you begin to memorize it, by the way, look on the back of your bulletin. That's our memory verse for this week. We have them every week. I don't know if you knew that. Get the word of the Lord into your soul. Speak the word of the Lord over your life, over your children, over your home, over your workplace, over your health, over the city. Speak the word. Get alone in the word of God. Because why? Because it will change you. God's word changes everything. For the better, quite literally, everything about your life will change. I'm encouraging you. Every morning, I love to spend time alone with Jesus in the Word of the Lord. You have to go to the Word. What if I'm lying right now? What if I'm deceiving you right now with what I'm saying? But you have no idea because you don't know the first thing about what this says. We live in a day and age, you cannot take my word for it. You can't. As your pastor, I would be doing injustice if I told you, just trust what I say. No, I do everything in my life to try to abide biblically by the word. In no way do I try to deceive people, but it doesn't say that. It says, go to the word yourself. Don't rely on me. I'm here to encourage you this morning to do one thing. Get alone with God. Get alone with Jesus in his word. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. Then immediately, Scripture says, he, the jailer, and all his family were baptized. That's what we're getting to. Why? Because baptism, Jesus taught, is a public display of a private profession. It's saying, I'm all in, literally. And I want everyone to know it. I remember being baptized, changed my life. Powerful encounter, powerful public display that set me up with the Lord. Jesus was baptized, so Ryan gets baptized. Jesus is baptized, so Calvary is baptized. Remember, Jesus wants nothing but the best for you. These instructions this morning, these scriptures, these thoughts are not just to motivate you this week to have a good turkey day. These thoughts and these scriptures are to better your life. All in the name of the Lord. Read this. This is the last one. He, the jailer, was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. I love this. I love this. You have a guy who a few verses earlier was suicidal. And now scripture says he's filled with joy because why? He had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. What happened? He had an encounter with the Lord. He met Jesus and everything changed. See, this is the message that we want to get out. Why are we getting food? Why are we doing the Jesus Loves Seattle projects like the food, like supporting the food bank, who feeds over 1,300 families a week, who partners with over 13 schools in our city, this university district food bank, who feeds between 600 and 700 children every week? Why are we getting behind them? Why do we support them monetarily as one of our local missions projects every month? Why do we do that? Jesus, spreading the gospel, spreading the good news. Why did we take time and invest in the Jesus Loves Seattle homeless bags? And we had this stage a couple weeks ago filled with 300 bags because it's 300 opportunities to tell somebody about Jesus. Why are we focusing on baptisms every month, the fourth Sunday of every month? Because it's an opportunity for an encounter. It's an opportunity to change people, for you to be changed, for me to be changed, for us to change our city. Does anybody realize our city needs Jesus? Yes. Does anybody realize they need the joy of the Lord? Yes. Does anybody realize that you, yourself, I, together, when we encounter Jesus, thanksgiving is a direct overflow that bubbles out? Yes. So this morning, would you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to close. We're going to move into our time of baptisms. And I just, every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, this message was so, so important to me. And God wants me to tell you this morning that Thanksgiving will change your life. He wants me to tell you this morning that we grow closer. You grow closer in your relationship with Jesus when you build your life around Thanksgiving, but it takes relationship. It starts there. And so this morning, I want to extend an invitation. This isn't from me. This is from God this morning. I'm extending an invitation to those in this place who might not have the joy, the jailer we just read about. You might not have the peace that Paul and Silas had, and you're just kind of in a place where there's just conflict and tension, and just it's just not, you know, there's something better. You see, men, women, boys, and girls who don't have joy or peace in their heart will spend an entire lifetime trying to find it. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've tried. I've tried to find joy and peace in everything, in anything. Substance abuse and overeating or undereating, position, power, recognition, work, entertainment, you name it. I mean, the list goes on, right? We do it. But I found that the only place I find true joy and true peace is in my relationship with Jesus. It's it. It's that simple. It's knowing him. And this morning, if you want to give your heart to the Lord like I've done and like many others in this place have done by a simple prayer, offering your heart to him, if that's you, you've never done that, would you just, the count of three, raise your hand, 1, 2, 3. And I'm only asking you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for. Yeah, I see one here. Any other hands? I see two. Yep. Any others? Yeah. 3. Okay. Any others? The balcony. Anyone else want to give their heart to the Lord this morning? Yeah. Yep, I see another one, another hand there. Good. Just one more minute. Want to offer it? Anyone else? This is a moment to enter relationship with Jesus. I want to pray for those who lifted their hands, okay? Just pray this prayer with me if you raised your hand. Lord Jesus, I believe in you today. Please come into my heart. Please cleanse me and wash me of all my sins and my mistakes. God, I want to live wholeheartedly with you, so please walk with me. I follow you. I decide this day forward to follow you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Lord, as I open your word this week and as I get alone with you, would you please speak to me and help me? I want nothing more than to want what you want me to want in relationship with you. So God, may Thanksgiving be a direct outflow and overflow, a bubbling over of my relationship with you. Be the Lord of my life and lead me on, King Jesus, in the way of everlasting. You are my hope. You are my glory. You are my peace. You are my joy. I invite you in. Come in and rule my life. Come in and have complete authority and charge. God, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.